Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. This weekend is Mother's Day, and like there's an attack on every other Christian value in Western society, there's an attack from the left against motherhood. I've entitled this program, Even Mother's Day is Racist. I was being satirical, but then I go to the web and discover that this is what's actually being said about Mother's Day. These articles criticizing Mother's Day appear to be written by those who have made racism their religion, their moral crusade, so that when Mother's Day comes around, they can only see Mother's Day through the lens of racism. If all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Every problem in the world, every distinction, every moral value is seen as a product of racism. The social oppression of a powerful group over a weaker group. This was the same worldview as Karl Marx, but Marx saw the problem of the world as a matter of economic class oppression. The feminists see the problem of the world as male patriarchy, and the social justice warriors of today see the problem as a matter of prejudice over the color of one's skin. Now, of course, you can find sin in any of those situations, but the error is an overemphasizing of these situations as the root cause of all of our problems. Also, I found that a common theme in all of these anti-Mother's Day articles is that they see the problem of Mother's Day as one of privilege. I don't have what you have. So that's unfair. That's racist. And what you have must also be bad. It's the jealousy of Cain against Abel, the jealousy of Ishmael against Isaac, the jealousy of Joseph's brothers against Joseph, the jealousy of the Sanhedrin against Christ. It's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3, the haters of the good. If I can't have it, you can't have it either. So, in honor of Mother's Day, being included in racism, let's play the Everything is Racism song, the knockoff from the Lego song. I haven't played this in the last few years.
Everything is racist.
Well, enough of that. That was 4 years ago, and it's gotten worse. Now we have to add another label. Everything is systemic racism, because the system itself is being called racist. And that's a very clever way to discredit and indict the American system of government and laws based upon the Judeo-Christian ethic, so that it can be replaced with communism and moral and economic lawlessness. Everything the left wants to overturn is being described now as racism. Here's an interesting piece by Tulsi Gabbard, the Democratic congresswoman in Hawaii that ran for the 2020 Democrat primary for president. And she was quickly removed from the running because, like Tim Scott, she understands that the left and the Democrat Party are making everything about racism to get power for themselves, to get moral authority. So here's this piece.
My dear friends, my fellow Americans, please, please let us stop the racialization of everyone and everything. It's racialism. We are all children of God and are therefore family in the truest sense, no matter our race or ethnicity. This is aloha, and this is what our country and the world need. The mainstream propaganda media and politicians, they want us to constantly focus on our skin color and the skin color of others because it helps them politically or financially. Aloha means respect and love for others. It's what enables us to see beyond our skin color and see the soul, the person within. So let's do our best to cultivate this aloha in our hearts and see and treat others through this prism of love, not through the prism of race and ethnicity. Please let us not allow ourselves to be led down this dark and divisive path of racialism and hate.
Well, good for Tulsi Gabbard. She's standing up against the left. And one more point. In all this talk today about racism and systemic racism, let's remember that racism has taken on a new definition. You have to know this if you understand what the left is saying. Racism is no longer merely about distinctions regarding differences in people's skin color, but every group is considered a race. The transgenders are considered a class or a race of people. The homosexuals are considered a class or a race of people. The communists are a race of people. So that if you object to those classes, you're a racist. Because you're objecting to a group on the basis of some alleged moral bigotry. Well, back to Mother's Day. You know the story here. In America, Marxist, humanist, feminist groups have been attacking the family and motherhood for the last 70 years. The BLM organization stated on its website, on its We Believe page, that the purpose of BLM is to disrupt, or rather change, the nuclear family. Quote, "We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement by supporting each other as extended families and villages that collectively care for one another, especially our children." And the ideology here is to replace the family with it takes a village or some sort of government socialism, or to redefine the family as LGBTQ. Well, of course, this is what they believe because the founders of BLM are lesbians and they openly state that they are training Marxists. There's a unity in leftist ideology and policy and intersectionality, as they call it, where the same people who are for abortion are also for LGBTQ and for gay marriage and for socialism and for racial divisions and for replacing the traditional family. Why does this all come in one package? Because when people replace God's law with human autonomy, every Christian value collapses and you get paganism on steroids. In the words of Dostoevsky, without God, anything is permissible. Back in September, before the election, the BLM organization removed from their website the We Believe page because their statements against the family and for Marxism and for homosexuality were discrediting them from or with the older generation of African Americans. So they covered up what they believe. And this is what unprincipled, ungodly people will do. They will lie and cover up their anti-God views until they gain power or until popularity. But providentially, BLM exposed their ideology. But imagine if they never posted what they truly believed. Those Christians who know what's really going on would still know that they were homosexuals, that they were Marxists who wanted to destroy the family. But the naive, especially naive evangelicals, would be saying, don't be so judgmental, they're good people, it's not that bad, they're just trying to stop racial prejudice. And those of us who would be saying, don't you realize that there is a hidden agenda to overturn Christianity, we would be called naive conspiracy theorists. That we just make up things against people. Well, the Bible has a lot to say about the naive being taken in by evil. Romans chapter 16, verse 18, which has come to mind quite often. By their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. So don't be naive. Understand that these leftist groups operate on the foundation of radical, satanic false teaching. And when you see one false emphasis, understand that there is a whole iceberg of false teaching under the surface. And don't be afraid to call a spade a spade. Now, you might ask, why are some Christians more informed on these things? Well, it's not just that they read more of the news. It mostly has to do with their biblical knowledge of the doctrine of sin and human depravity. Their understanding of what the Bible says about human nature and man's proclivity to sin. And their understanding of the ideology of Satan and his battle against God. Well, thankfully, God caused the BLM organization to let people know what they truly believe, so we shouldn't have to have any debate over the real purpose or ideology of the BLM organization. Well, let's get back to the subject of Mother's Day and motherhood. Just like in the BLM organization, there is a hidden attack on motherhood in universities, in the media, in foundations, in think tanks, in politics, in entertainment. And it's far greater than you and I would ever imagine. In our current generation, there is a marginalization and despising of the role of motherhood and the bearing of children. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3 is real. In the last days, there will be those who are unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of the good. So get your head out of the sand. These people truly hate all that is good in work, in family, in country, in the worship of God. They want to deconstruct, or rather tear down, all Western Christian values. They are in rebellion to God, and they're bitter against God. Have you looked into California's new ethic studies curriculum, now required in every California high school? Janie Shaney at World Magazine had a good piece on this. The goal is actually to overturn Anglo-European concepts such as the rule of law, parliamentary government, and individualism. European culture is depicted as oppression. And this is all code for Christian culture. These leftists who put together this curriculum don't want to admit that they're seeking to overturn Christian culture and values. So they hide their intent by calling it European culture, whiteness, or colonialism, as if they're just wanting to correct some of the sins of the past. But no, the driving motive is to overturn all Christian morality, Christian economic concepts, Christian views of government. But they're using the sins of the past, the sins of the unsaved Europeans, like the sins of slavery, as a wedge to discredit all Christian values. It's an ingenious plot hatched in hell. Now, one of the creators of this California curriculum stated that Americans were guilty of theocide for replacing indigenous pagan religions with Christianity. What this man wants is to return America to the values and the ways of paganism. A reversal of what happened in the first three centuries where Europe was Christianized. And in this California curriculum, they have students chanting to Aztec deities so that, quote, students can become more realized human beings. Do you know that in protests on universities, students and faculty are chanting, hey ho, Western culture has to go. And the goal is to cancel 2,000 years of Christianity and its applications in Western society. We're truly in the apostasy prophesied in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. And to once again quote Alexander Solzhenitsyn from his Templeton speech, today's world has reached a state which, if it had been described to preceding centuries, would have called forth the cry, "This is the apocalypse." Yet we have grown so used to this kind of world, we even feel at home in it. There's another example of a mainstream attack on motherhood. A CBS program, 60 Minutes, they did a report on a movement in Hungary to encourage family and motherhood. You know, after living under communism for the last century, there has been a movement in Hungary to return to some Christian values. The state is encouraging families to have children. And there are slogans like procreation, not immigration, and the best resource a nation can have is her children. And such thinking triggers liberals in the West. The left is calling this backward thinking, nationalism, populism, prejudice. And that's exactly how this movement in Hungary was depicted by this CBS report, that Hungary was being bigoted in wanting to have the right kind of families, not LGBTQ families, that Hungary was being bigoted for supporting nationalism, not globalism. The television series on Hulu called The Handmaid's Tale is now going into its fourth season. It's a fictional story about Christian fundamentalists taking over America, turning it into the land of Gilead, and enslaving women by making them have children. Margaret Atwood, who wrote the original novel back in 1985, did so to refute the teachings of Dr. James Dobson and focus on the family. In Atwood's worldview and in the worldview of feminism, childbearing, motherhood, and family is oppression. And in The Handmaid's Tale, feminists depict all the evil things they believe Christian family values will produce in a country. That the world would become a dystopian nightmare with Christian values, but the world would be a utopia if we had pagan, secular, Darwinistic, humanistic values. It's the lie of the devil trying to scare people away from God. It's the old lie of the devil that God is an oppressor. And the point I've been working to drive home over the past few programs is that all of these particular leftist views and policies are rooted in one thing. Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good from evil." The moral revolution, the apostasy in our day, is being driven by the original claim of Satan to declare independence from God and to justify it by claiming that God is an oppressor. That's why everything today is about oppression, victimization, and power. Every leftist movement today is operating under the same theme, from feminism to anti-motherhood to transgenderism to homosexuality to socialism to open borders. Any value or way of living that God teaches in the Bible is being depicted as oppression. That's the narrative. That's the story that's being told. And it is all the same old agenda and lie of Satan. This generation, in its rebellion to God, is growing increasingly in league with Satan. Now, today I'm discussing just one application of this larger war against God. Specifically, that the role or calling from God to be a wife, a mother, a bearer of children is oppression. But understand that the same lie of you are being oppressed is used in every issue. Because Satan really only has one tool in his toolbox of lies. And that's this claim of oppression. Call it unfairness, inequality, injustice, call it racism, call it homophobia, transphobia, male patriarchy. It's all the same argument at its core. In order for Satan to get people to follow him and to worship him, he has to get people to believe that God's good gifts are oppression. He has to make them unthankful, bitter, resentful. Rather than rejoicing in all of the good gifts and the callings of God, Satan wants people to be grumblers, fault finders, following after their own lusts. That's Jude 16. This was Satan's method in the garden, and it hasn't changed. It's the only lie he has, and it works well. Now he's changed the language and the terms, but it's really the same lie. And given mankind's fallen human nature, our disposition gravitates toward this lie. And it takes a real miracle of God to break the lie. And of course, we know the real truth, that Satan is the oppressor. As Jesus said, the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And then Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. Satan's own character and agenda, he's projecting upon God. And the left is doing the same thing today. They are actually the oppressors, but they're accusing God of oppression. Because they are of their father, the devil, and they want to do the desires of their father, John chapter 8. But Jesus also said in John 8, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Who is the truth? John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Freedom from oppression is actually found in following Jesus Christ, in submitting to God, because you're free from your own sinful nature. You'll never be more happy and more fulfilled than when you live according to God's boundaries. So don't listen to the lies of Satan. He's trying to destroy you. Now, in addition to tempting Eve to rebel against God's established order, we also see in Scripture a satanic hatred toward motherhood. So it's no surprise that those who are in league with Satan also hate motherhood. Since God tells mankind to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, first to Adam and Eve in Genesis 1:28, and then to Noah and his family in Genesis 9:1, you can be sure that the doctrine of demons sent out into the world will be, don't have children. It's a burden. It's a stress to the environment. If you're really socially conscientious and you want to be free and happy, don't be fruitful and multiply. And since the Apostle Paul wrote in the New Testament in 1 Timothy 5:14, therefore I want younger women to get married, to bear children, to keep house, we can be sure that the pagan secularist will find some intellectual justification to criticize that and to say the direct opposite. I would that women take the role of men, work outside the home, pay little or no attention to the bearing and raising of children. So why does Satan hate motherhood? Well, probably because Satan hates those hairless bipeds who are made in the image of God. Yes, he wants to take them all to hell because misery enjoys company, but some might slip through his hands, make it to heaven, and glorify God for all eternity. I mean, it's not as if those in hell will be worshiping Satan, so I'm sure Satan would rather have none in hell if there's also none in heaven. So he'd rather kill all mankind if he could only get permission from God to do that. We see this animosity toward procreation in Genesis 3:15, where God pronounces a curse upon Satan, that there would be an enmity between the woman and Satan and between the woman's child and Satan, Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. Now, God didn't cause the enmity, but the woman's God-given role in childbearing would result in Satan being particularly hateful toward the woman and her descendant. The Hebrew word seed is this word for descendant, and it can be either singular or plural, descendant or descendants, depending on the context. In Galatians 3:16, the Apostle Paul makes the point that the promise to Abraham was to his seed, singular, not plural. Galatians 3:16, now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. God does not say, and to seeds, as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is Christ. And the one particular descendant of the woman who Satan would hate and try to destroy would be that one seed of the woman, the Lord Jesus Christ. Through procreation, God would become incarnate and save the human race. This seed of the woman shall crush the head of the serpent, Satan. Satan's demise would come through the woman's calling to bear children. And this is probably what's meant in 1 Timothy 2:15. But women will be preserved or saved through the bearing of children if they continue in faith and love and sanctity with self-restraint. Childbearing is redemptive in that sense. Through childbearing, Christ came into the world. And whenever we follow God's calling on our life, it becomes redemptive. Specifically, in motherhood, it is a part in drawing women closer to God. Now, in Revelation 12, we read an allegorical story that again describes the animosity Satan has toward motherhood. There's a great sign in heaven. There's a woman in labor. A red dragon stands over the child, wanting to devour this child as soon as he's born. The dragon is unsuccessful. The dragon is thrown down to the earth and goes off to make war with the rest of her offspring. Now, this story contains multiple applications. When Mary gave birth to Jesus, Satan attempted to kill a child through King Herod. A clear example of Satan's attack on motherhood and children. The woman also represents true Israel and the church, the people of God, who brought forth Jesus. And Satan going after the rest of the offspring is Satan going after Christ's brothers and sisters, those who are in Christ. But in general, you know, Revelation 12 is really Satan's hatred toward the entire human race and procreation. The angelic race, both good angels and fallen angels, cannot reproduce. Mankind has been given a very special gift from God in our ability to create more souls right out of our own bodies. And Satan must hate this. I mean, he hated when Adam and Eve were created, and now they keep procreating more image bearers of God. And so he has to constantly work to snuff out the image of God in them and to destroy them. Giving birth is called procreation because it's a continuation of the miracle in Genesis chapter 1. And what a privilege we have to create family, souls, people who can live with God for all eternity. This gift should be considered a high privilege and calling. But Satan has convinced modern women that this is not a privilege, that this is not a blessing to seek after, but this is a burden. It's no coincidence that in communist countries and secular Western countries, they want women in the workforce, like the men. They promote abortion. They discourage reproduction and population growth. And in all of these countries, birth rates are below replacement levels. Satan and his followers push the culture of death, and foolish people believe it. The greatest calling and blessing for women is not to work in some office shuffling papers, creating ad campaigns or financial statements that in a few weeks nobody's even going to care about. It's a big waste of time. And yet it's all being sold as the highest priority, in part due to the fact that these leftist feminists are materialists who prioritize money. California even has a new feminist law that requires corporate boards to have a certain number of women. They want to use the force of law to require that women do the same thing that men do, as if being on a corporate board is some sort of special privilege. They make these laws because in their worldview, the corporate job has a greater fulfillment than other callings, especially motherhood. Notice that they didn't pass a law requiring women to work on oil rigs or clean out septic tanks, which are also perfectly good callings from God. But humanists have convinced this generation of women that they should do what men do, as if that's where the status is. That's where you'll find meaning and fulfillment. But anyone who gives it an hour's worth of thought knows it's a lie. Women have a special privilege and calling men don't have. But most women go along with the system, and they end their life with nothing more than a bunch of pay stubs, and Satan laughs. When a culture departs from God, one of the first things to go is motherhood. 150 years ago in America, 6 to 9 children in a household was common. And not only was it common, it was socially approved and rewarded. Now the average household is 1 to 2 children. Now, secular sociologists explain this decline as merely a function of economics. As if years ago, people were only having children to help on the farm, but children today are not an economic necessity, but a burden. Or they say that the reason for less children today is because women are going off to college and they get started later. There's an opinion piece in the New York Times entitled "The End of Babies," as if it's a good thing. Quote, declining fertility typically accompanies the spread of economic development. And it is not necessarily a bad thing. At its best, it reflects better educational and career opportunities for women, increasing acceptance of the choice of being child-free, and rising standards of living. Childlessness is undoubtedly a step forward, especially for women. Unquote. Then the piece goes on to explain that the reason for childlessness in our modern era is not really economic. Because in Western cultures, there is plenty of wealth. There's plenty of childcare, plenty of subsidies for children, but people are still not having children. Quote, the spiritual maladies that accompany late capitalism, even in wealthy, egalitarian countries, with their basic needs met and an abundance of opportunities at their fingertips, the citizens instead must grapple with the promise and pressures of seemingly limitless freedom, which can combine to make children an afterthought or an unwelcomed intrusion on a life that offers rewards and satisfactions of a different kind, an engaging career, esoteric hobbies, exotic holidays, unquote. Well, because secularism has been teaching that those other things, careers, hobbies, holidays, are a greater reward than childbearing, people aren't having children. Couples have abandoned child rearing for the empty promises of materialism and pleasure. Or they try to do both, where mom has a very limited number of children and yet still tries to work a professional career outside the home. Well, this New York Times piece goes on to explain this very reason for couples not having children. Quote, Lyman Stone, an economist who studies population, points to two features of modern life that correlate with low fertility. Rising workism, a term popularized by the Atlantic writer Derek Thompson, and declining religiosity. There is a desire for meaning-making in humans, Mr. Stone told me. Without religion, one way people seek external validation is through work, which when it becomes a dominant cultural value, is inherently fertility reducing. So practically, the reason for declining birth rates and the marginalization of motherhood doesn't appear to be some sort of demonic plot or ideological belief that motherhood is oppression. For most people, it's simply that they have materialistic goals that conflict with motherhood, so they don't want to be overly committed to the time and expense of children. Their values are not Psalm 127:3, behold, children are a gift of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward. But in this, their values are those described in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In the last days, men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. And that attitude is just as satanic. It's just as satanic as the radical feminists and Marxist ideologues in the universities who have a fully developed ideology that motherhood and family are oppression. American couples, in their own ways, have been deceived by these false teachers, these messengers of Satan. They have been convinced to marginalize and despise the gift of procreation as much as Satan himself. 2 Timothy 2:26, they have been held captive by Satan to do his will, and the will of Satan also includes the destruction of motherhood. So don't be deceived. Understand the agenda of Satan, turn to God, and begin to value what God values. Motherhood and children, and you will be blessed. Psalm 127:3, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. Thank you for taking the time to include God and country as just one small part of your discipleship in the Word. Next week, I'd like to do a review of Carl Truman's book, The Rise and Triumph of Modern Self, because it's a good example how intellectual jargon and secular theories are hiding and complicating the real battle between men and God. Well, until then, you know, stay in the Word, stay faithful, keep the faith, and may Jesus Christ reign.